Welcome to Canvas Church. You are listening to our weekly celebration service message. Thank you for tuning in.
Today, we're going to tackle Mark chapter 12, and we're going to have a good time doing it. So let's jump in there. Mark chapter 12, I'm going to read verses 13 through 17. I'm not going to read the whole thing because I got a lot to share with you today. But if you were to get into Mark chapter 12, which I hope you do, and you read the whole thing, here's what you're going to see right off the bat. You're going to see this incredible parable that's really a challenging one right when you open up Mark chapter 12. You're going to get into that, and you're going to read that, and it's going to be some challenging stuff. And then you're going to hit verses 13 through 17, which we're going to talk about today. And then it gets into some questions about the resurrection. And then there's this really, really great one that I absolutely love that I was going to focus on. I thought this was going to be my focus in Mark chapter 12, and that is the primary and the greatest commandment. And love the Lord God, love people, right? And it's just this awesome. And I was going to zone in there, but I couldn't get away from verses 13 through 17. And then at the very end of Mark chapter 12, it ends with this challenging thought on generosity. Which I would encourage you to read, and what generosity really is, and how this widow gave this amount, but these other people are given all this amount, but who really was the generous one? And that's some really good stuff, so make sure you pick up that whole chapter and read it. But I'm going to read verses 13 through 17 of Mark chapter 12, and we're just going to dive into there today. Mark chapter 12, verses 13 through 17, and it reads, "Then they sent some of the Pharisees and the Herodians." Now, who is the they? The they are the Jewish people, okay? These are the Jews. And within the Jews, there were different sects in it. And I don't mean never mind, you know what I'm talking about. Take too much time to explain. But there's different segments, there we go, within the Jewish community. And one of those is mentioned here, the Pharisees, and another one is mentioned, the Herodians, okay? So the Jews pick the Pharisees and the Herodians. Now, here's what you need to understand, okay? The Pharisees and the Herodians did not get along, even though they're a part of the Jewish people. They didn't get along. They were opposed at one another and because of some fundamental issues. The Pharisees, they were the ones that held to the strictest part of the law. Matter of fact, they were so into the law that they added more laws to the law. All right? Like they had so many rules and things that they had to live by, and they just adhered to them because they didn't want to stray away from what they were supposed to be following. So they added all this stuff and they really followed that. Okay. The Herodians, on the other hand, they were from the Jewish segment as well, but they wanted to create a political arena for themselves. And they really wanted to build a natural king and a natural kingdom. And so because of that, they would adhere to Roman rule and Roman customs, all right? And so because of that, they were opposed to one another. And these Jews came to both of them and said, "Hey, help us out." This is what it said. To trap him, who's the him? That's Jesus, by what he said. And when they came, they said to him, "Teacher," talking to Jesus, "we know you are truthful and defer to no one, for you don't show partiality, but teach truthfully the way of God. Is it lawful," here's the question, "is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not? Should we pay or should we not pay?" Okay, now going back to the Pharisees and the Herodians, here's what you got to understand. Because the Pharisees were so strict in following the Jewish customs that they added all these other laws, if Jesus was to answer, "Yes, give the taxes to Caesar," they would immediately seize him and say, "Oh, see, he's not really a, you know, the prophet. He's not really one that teaches the right way. He's teaching following Caesar, and that's wrong," okay? So if they were to say, if Jesus was to say, "Yeah, pay that," they would immediately seize him. On the other hand, if he was to say, "No, don't give that to Caesar," then the Herodians now, because of their path and they're trying to create this political system, they would immediately go to Rome and say, "Hey, he's not paying taxes to Rome." And then he would be arrested, okay? So either way Jesus answers, he's caught in a predicament. You with me? Okay? Should we pay or not? But knowing their hypocrisy, Jesus knows their hypocrisy, he said to them, "Why are you testing me? Bring me a denarii," or a denarius, which is just a coin. It's money. It's the way they bartered, "to look at." So they brought him one. And this is what he says. "Whose image and inscription is this?" he asked them. Caesar's, they replied. Then Jesus told them, give back to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. And they were amazed at him. Jesus is put in this spot where they're about ready to pounce. They're like, hey, we got him this time. He's got to say one or the other. But Jesus jukes them. Come on, somebody. It's the ultimate Jesus juke right there, right? This was like Mayweather. Come on, Dodgy McGregor. Come on, somebody. Oh, I know there were so many people were like, well, Mayweather's going to probably win, but I really want McGregor. Well, sorry, right? This was like, I mean, they set him up. He's going down, and all of a sudden he jukes him. And he says, no, give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, and give to God what belongs to God. Listen to what he says. Hey, whose image is on it? Well, Caesar's. Good, then it belongs to Caesar because his image is on it. But then he says this, give to God what belongs to God. In other words, he is going all the way back to the very beginning of creation. In Genesis 1, 26 through 28, and man was created in the image and likeness of God. You go ahead and give that to Caesar because his image is on it, but give humanity to me because my image is on it. And they're all amazed and perplexed. And I want to speak to you on the subject this morning of whose image is on you. God, we thank you for your word. God, we thank you that your word is awesome. God, your word is powerful. I pray that in the next few moments that we have together, that God, you would speak to us. God, you would love on us. You would challenge us. You would encourage us. And we walk out of here with a great hope and a great plan. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. 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 We are in a season that as parents, we call back to school season. Any parents out there, back to school? Kids have either started or they're starting shortly, or maybe how many students? So how many students out there? Like, yes, I've started, I'm starting shortly. How many people don't go to school or don't have kids? All right. Praise Jesus. This is back to school season. And we just, you know, we get things ready and they go. Well, when the kids were littler, it wasn't just back to school season. It was also label everything they take to school season, right? Like when they're little, because you know when they're little. Now as they get older, you try to teach them responsibility, right? You don't necessarily label it. But when they were little, we would get their lunchbox and we would label it. We would put Brinkman on it, or Cara Brinkman, or Faith Brinkman. We would put it on their jackets. We would put it on their lunchboxes. We would put it on their backpacks. We would put it on their binders. We would put it, as a matter of fact, I even put one on my daughter one time. Someone tried to steal her, right? That's my child, okay? And as they get older, you don't just write it in the open because I remember the time we were about ready to do it. We're about to write Brinkman on the lunchbox, and Carl's like, da-da-da-da-da-da. What? Can we put that somewhere else, like on the inside of the lunchbox? Getting older, right? And you do that because the reason you do that is you want them to come home with their stuff, right? Whatever you marked belongs to you, okay? Somehow still they'd come home with other people's stuff. That's not your lunchbox. How do you know? Because it says Sally on it. Oh. Well, Sally and I have the same lunchbox, I know, but that's not yours, right? And so you mark everything because whatever has your name on it, whatever is marked, belongs to you, right? Well, this kind of progressed, and it's no longer a problem necessarily with the stuff they take to school because they know what belongs to them, and they bring it back. But it really got complicated in our house because I am an Apple fanatic. Like, I have Apple TV, I have MacBooks, I have iPads, I have iPhones, I love Apple products, which wasn't a problem until my daughters started getting phones as well. And because they're just going to get the hand-me-downs, come on, somebody, right? Dad gets the new phone, you get the old phone. Dad, it's the original iPhone, it still works. Okay. And it was great, they got the phone, but it really got complicated when I walked in one day and I'm like, my charger, it's always plugged into the same spot, like right there by my bed, it's right there. I walk in and it's gone. And I'm like, what? And this did not start suspiciously until my daughter got a phone. I walk in and it's gone. And I'm like, what? So I go to my daughter, I say, Cara, did you grab my charger? She's like, no. I was like, where did you get that one plugged in? I don't know, but it's not yours. So I'd go find another one that was probably hers, plugged in somewhere else, and I would plug it in. I would walk in the next day. It would be gone. I'm like, what? I'd go into Cara. I'd be like, Cara, did you take my phone charger? She's like, no. I look in the wall. There's two chargers sticking out of it. Come on, somebody. I'm like, what? Yes, you did. I don't know how they got there, right? I'm like, what? And so you know what I did? I put my name on it. right? But I did it sneakily. I put it on the inside so when it's plugged in, you can't see it, right? So it's facing the wall. I just write BB for Ben Brinkman, right? I just put it there, plug it in. So now when I go in, hey, is that my charger? No. Bam, yes, it is. Belongs to me. How do you know? Because it's got my image. It's got my, are you with me? My mark on it. Okay. Here in this passage, Jesus brings about a very, very interesting and awesome point. When he says, hey, bring me the coin. Whose image is on it? Caesar's. Then it belongs to Caesar. And then he says, give that to Caesar, but give to God what belongs to God. What is he saying? He's saying this, whatever mark is on you, owns you. Whatever image is on you, owns you. I love this passage. I love this passage because here, the people are just trying to trap him so they can arrest him because they don't want him leading things astray. So they try to trap him. But I love it because Jesus does the ultimate Jesus juke. And I don't know about you, but I've been juked before by friends. And you're sitting here like, I don't even know what a Jesus juke is. All right, well, let me explain it to you. This is a Jesus juke, okay? I go to Brandon after service, and I'm like, dude, can we go get some food? I'm so hungry. And he looks at me and goes, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds forth out of the mouth of God. And I'm like, dude, I'm hungry, right? Like, I don't really care about that right now. Like, what did he do? He took something very natural and practical and all of a sudden made it spiritual, right? Like, you know, it's like, how many, don't raise your hand, but I'm kind of a Walking Dead fan. Any other Walking Dead fans? Like, yeah, woo, right? My wife doesn't really like it. She tolerates it. I watch it, right? So many spiritual analogies in it. That was a Jesus juke right there, right? But like, you know, you like binge watched, you know, a season. And you're like, man, I just binge watched Walking Dead. And your friend looks at you and goes, really? If you spent half that much time reading your Bible, you'd be walking with Jesus. What? Like, let's be honest. None of us like those friends, right? Like, we just don't like it. Like, you come from the gym, it's like, dude, my muscles are so sore. I just got done working out. Well, you know what? You should exercise yourself toward godliness. What? I don't know. Has anybody seen the weather report for the next couple days? It's going to be like 101. Someone's going to be like, man, it is so hot. And someone's going to be like, not as hot as it's going to be in hell for those who don't repent. What? What? It's a Jesus juke. It's like, dude, I'm just talking about the weather right now. Like, what are you doing? Jesus does this. He is the ultimate Jesus juker, right? Like, they're talking about taxes, and he's like, wham! They're like, whoa! And he brings forth, listen, we can't miss it. He brings forth this powerful thought that whatever marks you owns you. Whatever marks you owns you. You belong to that. The lunchbox says Brinkman on it. It belongs to Brinkman. The iPhone charger says BB on it. Come on, somebody. It's mine. And here is the reality, ladies and gentlemen, is that if we are honest with ourselves, if we could just pull up the green couch right now and you could just lay down and I could sit back in my chair and pull out my pad and my pencil and ask you this question, what marks you? You would open up. Because here's the deal. Each and every one of us sitting here today have been marked by something. We've been marked by something. Or we've had the opportunity to be marked by something. We've been marked by a tragic event in our life. Maybe something that's outside of our control. Something that we had no ability to steer the direction. But it happened and it's marked us. And so now when things happen in our life, we go back to that moment. We go back to that place, that space. And we view what we're walking through that because it's marked us. Maybe it was a bad breakup or even a divorce. And it's marked us. And so now we view the relationships that we have with people or the relationship we're trying to step into with somebody through that moment, through that place, through that space, because we're marked and now we're owned by that moment. Whose image is on it? Jesus asks them. It owns you. Maybe it's not a relational issue. Maybe it's something that somebody spoke over your life. Maybe it was you diving into a business deal with somebody, and all of a sudden something happens and it's marked you. Listen, it doesn't just have to be tragic events. It could be successful moments. And now you find yourself and your success and your ability to achieve back in this place because it's marked you. Maybe it was a bad ministry experience. Not that anybody would have those at Canvas, but at a different church. And it was a bad ministry experience, and you had that experience, and now it's marked you so much that literally it owns you, and you can't, it's so much that there's pain there, and you can't even relate with those people anymore. It's marked you. All of us have been marked by something, or have had the ability to be marked by something. See, God, way back in the beginning of time, knew and understood this principle of whatever marks you, owns you. You belong to it. Genesis 1, I mentioned it. Let me read it to you. Genesis 1, verses 26 through 28. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. They will rule the fish of the sea, the birds of the sky, the livestock, all the earth, and the creatures that crawl on the earth. So God created man in his own image. He created him in the image of God. He created them male and female. God blessed them and said to them, now be fruitful, multiply, fill the whole earth, and subdue it. Rule the fish of the sea, the birds of the sky, and every creature that crawls on the earth. God understood that his image was on humanity. Therefore, humanity had the ability and the power to walk out in that kingdom power and authority. You're marked, you belong to him, you have that authority. Are you with me? Whoever marks you, owns you. And we've all been marked by something. And so my question to you this morning, but what's marked you? What do you keep going back to? But understand this secondly, that although all of us have been marked by something, that it's truly what we let in us that marks us. It's what we allow in us that actually marks us. Because here's the reality. There's you know, the community at Canvas is growing, and there's people that can walk through this event, like two different people, they can walk through this event, but the outcome is drastically different. Because with one scenario, it's marked them, it's become their image, it's defined who they are. But yet with somebody else, they didn't allow it to come in, and so rather than defining them, it has refined them. And yes, it's maybe left a scar, but a scar is a lot different than the image that's ruling your life. You know, here's what the word image is in the Greek. It's the word eikon, where we get our word icon, and it means an image, figure, likeness, a likeness, statue, or idol, or profile. In other words, this word image that is used here, it's literally become that statue in your life. When people see you, that's what they see. When you see yourself, that's what you see. And now it runs your life, it owns you, it motivates you, it pushes you forward. But it's what we let in. It's what we let in that marks us. And that's why this person over here can go through this event and they're now defined by it, but yet this person go through it and they're refined by it. Because there is a big difference between an image and a scar. An image becomes what you are, what owns you. A scar is a reminder of something that has happened in your life. Scars. We all have scars. Scars. I got a scar right up here. I got this scar from falling off a bunk bed. So now when I see that scar reminds me I fell off a bunk bed. But it doesn't just remind me I fell off a bunk bed. It reminds me why I fell off a bunk bed. Right? It's because my brother was sleeping on the bottom bunk. I was sleeping on the top bunk. And I went like this to try to talk to him and wrapped all the way around. And my legs flipped up. And I fell off the bunk bed. So what does the scar remind me not to do? That. Scar. And so scars are okay because scars refine us. But when it becomes an image or an idol or a statue in our life, it leads us. It owns us. It's whatever we let in. It's what we let in. So listen to me. We can walk through tragic. We can walk through difficult spaces. We can walk through difficult times. We just got to make sure that the scar is okay. Just don't let it become an image. Rather than it becoming your image, let it become your testimony. Rather than being, that's a scar. You know what a scar is? A scar is a testimony. Yeah, I was there once. Yeah, I walked through that once, but Jesus. That's a scar. You know what an image is? An image is, oh man, I walked through that and I will never, ever, ever get married again. Because all women are, that's an image. A scar is, man, that was brutal. You know what? I realized the things I did wrong on my end. Because it takes two people, but I learned a lot through that season, and by the grace of God, I am going to find me a wife again. That's a scar. Comes your testimony. Amen. Good preaching, Pastor. Listen to what the Bible says. God understands this so much so that in Proverbs, known as the Book of Wisdom, anybody need wisdom? I guess I'm the only one. Okay. It's the Book of Wisdom. Proverbs 4:23 says this, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the issues of life. Guard your heart. Listen to the word picture here. He uses a heart. What is a heart? It's here. It's our organ. What does it do? It pumps every living thing throughout our body. Without the heart beating, you cannot live. There are other organs. We have no idea why we have them that you can live without. A spleen. Hello? What is it? We don't know. What does it do? I don't know. Remove it. Okay. You cannot live without a heart. A heart pumps every living thing throughout your body. Okay? Listen to what he's saying. He's not talking about your natural heart. He's talking about a spiritual heart. And he says, guard your spiritual heart. What is he saying? Because this spiritual heart pumps every living thing throughout your life. Guard it with all diligence. For out of it flows every single issue in life. God understands this, what marks us. Proverbs 7, verse 1 through 5. My son, obey my words and treasure my commands. Keep my commands and live. How many of you guys like to live? Woo! Not very many. Okay. Man, I don't know what church I'm at today. Live. What are we going to do? Keep my commands and live. Protect my teachings as the pupil of your eye. Tie them to your fingers. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Image, inscription, written. There it is. And say to wisdom, you are my sister. Hey, sister. And call understanding your relative. She will keep you from a forbidden woman, a stranger with her flattering talk. Listen to this one. Listen to 2 Corinthians 3, 1 through 3. Are we beginning to commend ourselves again, or do we need like some letters of recommendation to you or from you? You yourselves are our letter, written on our hearts, recognized and read by everyone. It is clear that you are Christ's letter produced by us, not with ink, but with spirit of the living God, not on a stone of tablet, but on tablets that are hearts of flesh. It's inscribed. It's an image. God knew this. What do we need? His word. Why, man? Because it's that thing that then begins to rule and run our life. We let things in. Whatever we let in becomes an image. Whatever that image is, owns us. Listen to what Jesus said. Go back to once again. Whose image is on it? Caesar's. It belongs to Caesar. Give it to him. But give to God what belongs to him. Whatever image is on it, owns it. Whatever image is on it, owns it. What image? What image is on us? It becomes the rule. We're more marked. We belong to this thing. We belong to that thing. Ultimately, we're supposed to belong to Him, created in the likeness and image of God. But throughout life, stuff happens and we get marked. We get marked with insecurity. All of a sudden now that insecurity begins to rule us and begins to run our life. So much so that we try to overcome insecurity by doing, by achieving, by people-pleasing. When really it's tied back to this image of insecurity. We want affirmation. We're tied to this image of affirmation. And we learned it at a young age that if I did this, if I performed, then I was affirmed. And so now we're tied to that image. And now affirmation is our image. And affirmation is what drives us and what pushes us forward and what causes us to do things only to try once again to get affirmation from people. And as we try to get affirmation from people, only to be let down by people. And then we get bitter and we get offended and we get upset. Because the image owns us. Why can't people break free from things? It happens in marriages. The reason that your marriage isn't working is because you have a wrong image of marriage. All you had growing up was a picture of divorce. All you had growing up was a picture of separation. All you had growing up was this image of that. And now you wonder why your marriage is like that. Because there are some things you cannot counsel your way out of. You need deliverance. You need to be set free. You need Jesus to heal. You need Jesus to restore. You are spending hundreds of dollars and you are frustrated and you are confused. This isn't just about marriage. There are some of you have an image of something because of something that happened in your life. And you are going to a counselor and you are spending hundreds of dollars and you're expecting that counselor to fix you. But the counselor cannot change the image that has branded you. You have got to get delivered. You have got to get set free. We keep, and here's the thing, you walk away more frustrated. Because, well, I mean, it felt good to talk about it. Is somebody hearing me this morning? But you're owned by something. You're owned by that thing. You're owned by that moment, that place, that space. What happened? I remember it wasn't that long ago that I was working with a couple. And they were dealing with financial difficulty, and they've been dealing with financial difficulty since I've known them, many years. And we were working with this couple, and so we sat down and said, "Man, look, let's see a budget and help them work on that. What is a budget? What does that look like?" And we identified so many holes in their financial picture. And I said, "Hey, let me ask you this question: What's your goal? Why aren't you pursuing a job?" Because one of them didn't work. "Well, I'm not pursuing a job because if I get a job, then I won't be able to get Section 8 housing." And right there, boom, light bulb went on. I said, "Hold on, rewind. So your goal out of this whole thing is you want to get into Section 8 housing." Now listen to me. Thank God for the government. Thank God for all those things. We're not belittling Section 8 housing. Okay, listen to what I'm saying. But their goal was to get into Section 8 housing. And I stopped, I put everything away. I said, "Here's the problem." I said, "The problem is you have a poverty mentality. Why is your goal not to get out of debt and to get a job and to buy your own house?" And the light bulb came on. They're like, "We never thought of that." Why? Because they had been marked by an image of poverty. Poverty mentality was now ruling and running their life. Somebody with me this morning? I remember back when we were youth pastors and we were pastoring people, and this young person came and the terrifying nightmares all the time. "Well, okay, well, let's talk." Come to find out that her parents absolutely loved horror movies. Okay. And we sat down and talked to the parents. Said, "Look, until you're willing to stop this stuff, fear is going to keep running through your house. Because fear owns you." Sure enough, man, they stopped, and guess what happened? Shocker. See, there are some of us in here today that we are habitually and continually going back to the same painful moments, the same painful spaces. We're going back to that relational issue. We're going back to that, and we're pointing fingers, and we're trying, but here's the reality. The reality is the reason you keep going back to it is because it still owns you, and the only thing that needs to happen in your life is that Jesus Christ needs to come and deliver you from that image and put his image inside of you. Pastor, is it that simple? I'm telling you right now, it's that simple. Because right now, it is owning you. It's owning you. It's owning you. I think about in the Old Testament, the children of Israel, God's people, coming out of Egypt. Man, it's so good. Coming out of Egypt. And they're walking through the desert, heading toward the promise, heading towards the destination. And things aren't picture perfect. And they get upset. And they say, you know what? This isn't working out. It would have been better for us to be back in Egypt. Okay, in Egypt, they were getting beat with whips and working all day long building clay bricks. And they're saying, it would have been a lot better to be back there. What happened? They were branded. The image was still Egypt. Listen to me, no counselor named Moses could lead them out. They had to have an encounter for themselves. Had an encounter. Listen to me, I've walked through this. I've walked through it many times. I've walked through this so many times. I still remember today when we first started this church that there were times when I was marked by something else and maybe not even motivated out of the right thing. And one of those things that marked me is I'll never forget, we've had a lot of success in our youth ministries when we were youth pastors. Well, we started our first youth ministry, and our youth ministry at one point was bigger than the church. Not because of me, not because of my wife, but the grace of God. And then we moved on to our second youth ministry position, and we were there, and we took that thing from 30 kids to 240 kids in 18 months. Not because of me, not because of my wife, but the grace of God. But we worked hard. And we gave ourselves to it. And we saw this ministry explode. Just took my daughters back to visit last week. This ministry exploded. And God was moving. Incredible things were happening. And I was like, this is awesome. And I'll never forget the day I walked into my office and I found a packet on my desk. I didn't know that the packet wasn't for me. I thought it was for me. I thought every pastor had one on their desk. And it was an analysis of the church. And I opened up that analysis and I went to the place where it said youth ministry and I found my name. And my direct report had wrote in there that I don't know if Ben Brinkman is called to youth ministry anymore because he cannot get this youth ministry past 150. And I read that, and I remember, man, it branded me. It marked me. But I was confused. I was like, well, our ministry is this. What is this? What does this mean? But here's the deal. Early on when we started this church, we're like 120, 125. I thought to myself, back to that moment, our church will never be more than 150 because I can't get it there. Our church will never grow. I was marked by those words. I was marked by that statement. And now my life was being led by that statement, rather being led by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, rather than being led by the words of God that have been spoken over my life. I was led by this man's word. It branded me and I was being led by it. And there are some of you in here today that is the same case for you. There have been words that have been spoken over your life, over your marriage, over your health, over your finances, over your future, over your destiny. But listen to me, you've got to understand that you are a son and a daughter of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And the last time I checked, I am not limited by what man says I am. I am actually limited only by what God says I am. And the Bible says I am the head and not the tail. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. No weapon for against me will prosper. I am more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. I belong to him. And it wasn't until that moment that I settled, man, those were words spoken in error and in falsehood and in lies. I don't belong to that. That thing has not branded me. I'm not going to let that thing own me. I'm going to let God rule and run my life. And it wasn't until that moment that I came to that place that, to be honest with you, I just don't give a rip anymore. And it's the best feeling in the world. I'm serious. I don't care. By the grace of God, I'm going to work hard, and I'm going to do what God tells me to do. But you know what? I'm not branded. I'm not branded by anybody. I'm not branded by anybody's words. No one owns me. except for him, because his image is on me. There's some of you, man, you are so stuck on people pleasing. And listen to me, it is just a vicious cycle that will absolutely ruin you, because people are going to let you down. People are going to let you down daily. But man, I got Jesus. I belong to him. He owns me. He rules me. And that's why, you know what? Like, here's the deal. Man, it is easy to walk in forgiveness when Jesus owns you. It's easy. I'm to the point where, honestly, sometimes I don't even understand it. Like, I don't understand how people can't let things go. Like I remember we had a conversation one time, some stuff that happened. I know she's pointing at her watch. I need to be done. But I went short in the first one. I added that time to the second service. Because I don't give a rip. Just kidding. It's not my, according to the countdown, I have 22 hours and 22 minutes left. So I'm taking all of it. Where was I at? Oh, some, yeah. I looked at my wife, and my wife looked at me, and she goes, how can you let it go so easy? And I said, because Jesus. And that's the absolute truth. Jesus. Like, honestly, I'm still human. Things hit me, but I'm like, you know what? It's all good. It's all good. Last time I checked, I'm not building his church. He's building his church. This is it. Like, I'm just the voice piece he chose to use. I'm like a breath. I'm a moment. One day when I'm gone, Canvas will keep moving on, maybe. Someone else will be here yelling at you. And I'm completely okay with that. But because he chose me for this season, I'm going to give it my all. I'm going to give it my best. But I'm branded by him. I am branded by him. I am branded by him. Do me a favor. Just stand to your feet. Close your eyes. Worship team can come. And together, we will eat up the last 23 hours and 51 minutes of our time together. Just go ahead. Close your eyes for a moment. Close your eyes. Man, I honestly feel this. Just close your eyes for a moment, because I honestly feel this on my heart. Man, so many responses in the first service. What image is on you? Because I'm telling you, it is easy to walk in humility. That sounds really arrogant, Pat. No, it's easy to walk in humility when Jesus has branded you. It's easy to walk in forgiveness when Jesus has branded you. So easy. So easy. But yet so many other things push into our life. That's why Romans chapter 12, once again, God's word is phenomenal. It says, hey, church, do not be conformed to this world. Don't be marked by the things of this world. Don't look like this, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Don't be marked by these other things. Be marked by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And when you are marked by Jesus, walking in humility is easy. Walking in grace is easy. Walking in love is easy. Walking in forgiveness is easy. But there are some of us this morning, every eye closed, every head bowed, because I believe that today is your day of freedom. I believe that today is your day of deliverance. I believe that today the assignment to ask you this question, what is marking you? What image is on you? Some of you walked in with an image of regret, an image of unforgiveness, an image of bitterness. But today it is being replaced by Jesus. Today that image is being broken. Listen to me. You don't need to go to the counselor anymore. You don't need to seek another pastoral meeting. You just need an encounter with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Today is your day of deliverance. You don't need to search any longer. Hope has come. Deliverance has come. Freedom has come. Your answer is here. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. With every eye closed and every head bowed, you'd be honest enough in this community with this pastor to say, there were so many hands in the first. I believe that today is your day of freedom. You are here today and you are being owned by something else. You are being owned by someone else. and you need freedom in your life today. You need a new image. You need a new vision in your life today. With every eye closed and every head bowed, you know this is you, and you know you need Jesus to come. Right now, I want you to shoot your hand in the air. Come on, right now, lift it up. Come on, all across this place. Come on, don't be ashamed. Don't be afraid. Come on, we love you, and we want to see you succeed. We want to see you find hope. We want to see you find deliverance. We want to see you find the freedom. It's found in Jesus. It's not found in a church. It's not found in a man. It's not found in a book. It is found in Jesus alone. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How, come on, hands all over this place. Lift it up. Freedom's coming right now. Deliverance is coming right now. Come on, that image no longer owns you. Come on, there's a new image coming upon you right now in Jesus' mighty name. Come on, you're not going to have to bow to that thing any longer. Woo! Jesus, 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 Jesus. You're here today and your hand is in the air. Lift it up high. Come on, right now. This is what I want you to do. I want to pray for you. I want to lay my hands on you. I want to pray for you. Take like 3 minutes, and I want to see God move in your life. I want to see God set you free. On the count of three, your hand is in the air. Don't be ashamed. Don't be afraid. I want you to come right up here. Meet me up here. I want to pray for you. One, come on. Two, three. Come on, get out of your seat right now. Come on, hands all over this place. Come on, come right now. Come right now. Come right now. Come right now. Quickly, right here. Right here, right here, right here. I'm going to meet you. We're going to pray. Hallelujah. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Come on, victory is coming right now. Fear is leaving right now. Hallelujah. Come on, the chains that have you bound are leaving right now. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Jesus, 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 Jesus. If you came forward, just close your eyes and just open your hands like you're going to receive a gift. And I'm going to come and I'm going to pray for every single one of you. Pastors, if you're here, you can come and help me. But we're going to pray. Come on, Pastor Miguel, come help me pray. Come on, we're going to pray for you. Come on, we're going to pray for you. Come on, Jan, come help me pray. Jan, come help me pray. Come on, we're going to pray right now. Come on, Jeremiah, come on, come help me pray. Come on, we're going to pray. Come on, Cody, if you can. Cody, Michelle, if you're available. Come on, the rest of you, God bless you. Thanks for coming to Canvas Church. Hope to see you next week. As we continue our summer road trip, stay around for the picnic next week. Man, go get signed up for the setup and pack up. It's going to be awesome. God bless everybody else. Come on, right here. We're going to pray.
Thank you for joining us today. For more information, please visit our website at www.canvaschurchsd.com.